AI model trained on DNA designed 16 synthetic viruses, raising biosecurity alarms. Generative AI has crossed a threshold that synthetic biology investors have debated for a decade. Stanford University researchers used two AI models to design 16 fully functional viruses from scratch, none of which exist in nature, marking the first time a complete genome has been designed and validated by artificial intelligence. The viruses, known as bacteriophages, were designed to infect and kill Escherichia coli bacteria. They pose no threat to humans. The team, working out of Stanford, began with AI-generated candidate designs totaling 302 sequences, synthesized them in the laboratory, and confirmed that 16 produced viable, replicating viruses capable of clearing bacterial colonies on Petri dishes. The success rate of roughly 5% across synthesized candidates is, by the standards of de novo protein and genome design, a commercially meaningful result. Brian High, assistant professor at Stanford University, told the BBC, "This is a next step in the complexity that's designable by generative AI. This is the first time generative AI has been used to design a complete genome. It's something that can replicate and have other functions inside cells. This was new territory for us. The implications extend well beyond academia." Bacteriophage therapy, the use of viruses to kill antibiotic-resistant bacteria, has attracted institutional capital for years without a scalable manufacturing or design solution. AI-generated phage libraries could dissolve both bottlenecks simultaneously, compressing the discovery timeline from years to weeks and reducing the combinatorial guesswork that has made phage development commercially unattractive to large pharmaceutical investors. The timing is not coincidental. Antimicrobial resistance already kills an estimated 1.27 million people annually, 2019 figures, The Lancet, and that mortality burden is rising. EVO1 and EVO2, the architecture behind the breakthrough, the two AI models at the center of this work, designated EVO1 and EVO2, operate on a logic that mirrors large language models such as ChatGPT. Where LLMs predict the next token in a sequence of text, EVO1 and EVO2 predict the next nucleotide in a sequence of genetic code. The training corpus spanned viral, bacterial, plant, and human genomes, giving the models a cross-kingdom view of genetic syntax. The Stanford team then fine-tuned the models to generate a specific class of output, bacteriophages that target defined bacterial species. From that refined generative process, 302 candidate sequences were selected for laboratory synthesis. The 16 that replicated successfully were not minor variants of known phage families. They were novel, functional, and verified under laboratory conditions. Samuel King, a PhD student in the high lab, described the moment of confirmation. The team had placed synthesized phage candidates on Petri dishes covered in a bacterial lawn and waited through the night. King told the BBC, "We were starting to see these clear spots and it was just extremely exciting. Those clear spots, called plaques, are the physical signature of a virus-consuming bacteria. Seeing them on AI-designed organisms for the first time represents a category break in what generative models can produce. The technical precedent matters for capital allocation. Prior AI applications in drug discovery, including antibiotic design for gonorrhea and MRSA superbugs, work the BBC has previously reported on, involved designing molecules rather than self-replicating genetic systems. Designing a molecule and designing a genome capable of autonomous replication are separated by orders of magnitude in biological complexity. EVO1 and EVO2 have now demonstrated the latter. The antimicrobial resistance commercial case phage therapy has sat at the edge of commercial viability for the better part of two decades. AI-designed phage libraries capable of targeting specific bacterial strains on demand could finally close that gap. Bacteriophage therapy works by deploying viruses that target and lyse specific bacterial cells, leaving human cells undisturbed. The therapeutic logic is precise. The commercial problem has always been discovery speed and scalability. Finding or engineering a phage effective against a given pathogen strain historically required extensive screening of environmental samples or labor-intensive rational design. The Stanford result reconfigures that economics. If a generative model can produce 302 candidate sequences in silico, synthesize them at current oligonucleotide synthesis costs, and return 16 functional phages inside a single experimental cycle, the discovery pipeline compresses dramatically. Terms for the research costs were not disclosed in either the Forbes or BBC reporting, but the synthetic biology cost curve is well documented. The price of DNA synthesis has fallen by multiple orders of magnitude over the past two decades, now approaching $0.1 per base pair at scale for standard sequences. Our view: the bottleneck in phage therapy commercialization is shifting from biology to regulatory and manufacturing. That is a soluble problem for institutional capital. The discovery layer, historically the highest risk and longest duration stage, is now partially addressable with compute. Biosecurity: the risk institutions cannot underwrite away the same capability that excites oncologists and infectious disease specialists alarms biosecurity experts. The BBC reported that specialists have labeled the breakthrough a very significant turning point in science and have simultaneously issued warnings that AI-designed viruses raise urgent safety and security concerns. The Forbes report echoed this duality. The concern is structural. A generative model trained on multi-kingdom genomic data, capable of designing functional replicating organisms, does not distinguish between therapeutic and harmful applications at the architectural level. The guardrails are downstream. In the fine-tuning, the access controls, and the regulatory frameworks governing who can synthesize what sequences. Those frameworks do not currently exist at the pace at which the technology is moving. The 16-phage result is a 2026 data point. The regulatory infrastructure governing AI-designed biological sequences is, by most expert accounts, years behind. For private equity and venture capital investors building positions in synthetic biology platforms, this creates a bifurcated risk surface. The upside is a potentially transformational reduction in drug discovery cost and timeline. The downside is regulatory intervention, liability exposure, or dual-use misappropriation that could freeze entire asset classes. Investment theses in this space need explicit biosecurity risk frameworks, not just pipeline valuations. Where the capital will flow, the synthetic biology investment map generative genomics is not yet a standalone public market category, but the component sectors are well capitalized. DNA synthesis platforms, AI-driven drug discovery companies, and phage therapy startups have all attracted institutional rounds in recent years. Terms for most private transactions in this space are not publicly disclosed, but the strategic logic of the Stanford result points toward several compounding opportunities. The EVO1/EVO2 architecture is directly analogous to the generative layer underlying large language model commercial infrastructure. The same capital formation playbook that built OpenAI, Anthropic, and their ecosystem applies here, with the additional moat of proprietary training data drawn from genomic databases that are not universally accessible. The Placamium view the market is pricing this development as a science story. It is a platform story. EVO1 and EVO2 are not research curiosities. They are the first public demonstration that a general-purpose generative model, trained on the language of DNA, can design novel replicating organisms to a functional specification. That is the capability that justifies platform-level valuations, not single-product drug development multiples. The correct analogy is not a biotech company discovering a new drug. The correct analogy is the transition from bespoke software development to general-purpose programming languages. Once the generative layer is validated, the applications compound faster than any single therapeutic pipeline. Placamium's read: the near-term commercial opportunity is not the 16 phages themselves. It is the institutional race to license, acquire, or build the genomic foundation model layer before it concentrates in two or three hands. We have seen this dynamic before. In large language models, the window for competitive entry at the foundation layer closed faster than most investors anticipated. In generative genomics, that window is open today. The biosecurity overhang is real and will produce regulatory friction. But friction is not prohibition. The more likely outcome is a tiered access regime, similar to dual-use research frameworks already governing gain-of-function studies, that creates durable barriers to entry for well-capitalized, compliant operators. Regulatory moats built by incumbents during a standard-setting period are among the most durable in life sciences. Institutional capital should be mapping the genomic foundation model landscape now, before a high-profile clinical success or a biosecurity incident forces a binary repricing in both directions. The bottom line: Stanford's 16 AI-designed viruses are not a proof of concept. They are a proof of production. Functional, replicating organisms built from AI-generated code, validated in the laboratory in 2026. The therapeutic target, antimicrobial resistance, addresses a mortality burden measured in millions annually. The platform capability, generative genome design, is applicable across oncology, vaccine development, and synthetic biology broadly. The companies that own the genomic foundation model layer, the training data, the synthesis infrastructure, and the regulatory relationships will command platform multiples, not biotech multiples. The window to build or acquire those positions is measured in months, not years.